Today, we are here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we are in this wonderful place. We are in this wonderful place, and this wonderful place is a Hindu Buddhist temple, and we are teaching healing techniques, meditation, and being yourself and having fun. And let's open up our Joy Song books and see if we can't find, and what a wonderful way to say it. Let's open up our Joy Song books and find some wonderful songs to sing. Now, we have with us this morning a diva who will sing with us, and she will try not to sing too loud to drown us all out, but she'll let us all join in the singing too. And her name is Rachel, and she comes straight to us from La Scala, the opera house in
Milano,
Italy.
In
Italy, right. So, I like to start out 22, page 22. I think that gives us a good start. Everybody to page 22?
Yes.
All right, here we go. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, flowers grow. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe that for everyone who goes astray, God within shows the way. I believe above the storm that God within is always heard. My indwelling being is my real self. This is the word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Thank you, Rachel. That was lovely. You like those words, Rachel?
I do.
They are beautiful, aren't they?
Yes.
All right, let's take another one here. Is there one that any one of you know about and like?
No.
Their beginning.
Can I have this?
May you keep the songbook?
Tomorrow after we have finished this.
Okay, because they're playing even then.
I know down at the university I wanted one and they weren't all put together yet.
Okay. On page 8. This is a very positive song. It's about peace on earth. And everybody wants there to be peace on earth, and they want to make peace on earth by having other people do things, and it is done by ourselves. Okay. Now there is peace on earth, and it began with me. Now there is peace on earth, the peace that is meant to be. I am God the Creator, one with all my world, walking with my creation in perfect harmony. Now there is peace in all, for this is the moment now. With every step I take, I offer my solemn vow to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Now there is peace on earth, for it has begun with me. Let's take a moment and be quiet and listen within ourselves and recognize just who we are. This great universe, this great world that we live in, this great experience that we have here goes far beyond anything we know. It goes far beyond anything that we have ever dreamed of. Scientists are reaching out with their telescopes and looking at the sky beyond whatever we have done before. We have
Humboldt telescopes that are up there looking beyond the moon and the stars and the planets. And they're seeing star systems that they had never known existed. And that's just the beginning. The infinity of all is so broad, so vast, that we have never the possibility of knowing it all at one time. We don't like to say there are areas that we cannot know, but we say in our human body we are limited to what we think we can know. But when we look at things through our divine self, through the God in us, through the divine in us, through our reality, we can see the limitlessness of the whole universe, the allness that exists around us, and how wonderful that is. We have the capacity within us to reach out and do that which has never been done before, because we have the unlimited idea of the divine within us, ready to show us how to accomplish anything our heart desires. And so it is. Every one of us has an opportunity to be what we want to be. And we fall short of being what we want to be because of one thing. We don't believe in ourselves. We think that we are just pawns of life, pawns of fate, pawns of the world that we're in, that we're pushed around. We believe that we are in a body that's less than perfect. We believe that we're in a mind that's less than perfect. We believe that we're in a world that's less than perfect. And as soon as we live in that belief, as soon as we remain in that belief, what happens to us? Then we are bound by that belief. And somebody comes along and lifts our mind to a new height, to a new dimension, to a new way of looking at things, and makes us think something more wonderful than we've ever believed before. I have a dear friend who lives in, what's the name in Texas? Born Texas or something like that. But he lives in Texas. And his name is Sam Houston. How about that? Well, now, Sam Houston is a very wonderful man. He and his wife were dear students of ours for many years, and she just moved along at the age of 89 or 94, rather, something like that. She was in her 90s. And a lovely lady. Well, she had a church in Mexico, and she was doing just fine in that church. But she met Sam. And Sam says, "Come on, I want to take you square dancing." Well, she always had trouble with her feet. She'd been a nurse, and she had trouble with her feet. And so she says, "All right." So she went with him square dancing. And Sam taught her all the steps of square dancing and all the things of square dancing. And she forgot about her feet and how much they hurt her. She had been a nurse, and she'd been on her feet a great deal as a nurse, and it somehow affected her feet. Well, she didn't think about it at all, and she danced with Sam. And she fell in love with Sam. And they got married. And then Sam took his pants off. And when he took his pants off, she saw that he had one false leg and one leg that wasn't quite perfect. And she says, "Sam, how can you be such a good square dancer and have your legs not be perfect?" Sam says, "Well, my legs are perfect now. You should have seen them before." And then Sam said, when he was about 12 years old, he and the rest of the kids in the family made their spare money by going out and picking potatoes. And as many potatoes as they got a penny for each potato or something that they picked. And so they picked a lot. And Sam had one bad arm, where he couldn't use his hand very well, and he had one leg that was a stump, and the other leg, which was deformed. And he couldn't do anything. And so Sam reached the age of about 17, and he said to his mother, "Mother, I've been talking to the doctor, and the doctor says they can cut off a leg, and that I can have a prosthesis, and then I can walk like anybody else. And The mother said, "Sam, that's a big step. Are you sure you want to take it?" And he said, "Yes." And he took it, and when he took it, it opened up a whole new life to him. He wasn't totally perfect like he would like to be, but it opened up a whole new life to him. And he was able to get up and go dancing and get up and go moving around, and he became a highly respected businessman. And to this day, he's about 97 now, to this day he's just fantastic. Now, here he has this body that is a little less than perfect, and yet he had a magnificent mind. He had integrity in his business. He was always someone that they could depend on of being totally honest. Maybe because he couldn't run fast enough to get away from them. But he was totally honest. And he did everything exactly the way he understood was the right way to do it. You see, whatever our limitations may be, they do not need to stand in the way of our dreams. What are your dreams for yourself? You know, a lot of people have limitations of their mind, have limitations of their heart. They have limitations of their attitudes toward themselves. And these limitations keep them from being who they are. Rhonda and I had a talk this morning, and we were talking about the limitations we have of thinking that we're not good enough to have the best, that we're not good enough to be with the people who are the very finest people on the face of the earth, just like we are, to be with the people who are just the most magnificent people. And we were talking about Lady Chatterley's Lover, you know, and Madame Pompadour, the women who were sort of ruling France many years ago, and they were, so to speak, in everybody's bed. But they really weren't. They really weren't. Everybody thought they were in everybody's bed because here's this man alone with this woman. Well, Madame Pompadour was such a classy woman that she talked to the men that she was with and made them feel 10 feet tall. They didn't have to go to bed with her and have this one-time experience. They respected her because she brought out of them the magic and the majesty that they were. And she was with kings, and she was with legislators, and she was with men of business and industry. She was with all these people, and quite likely, she had never gone to bed with any one of them. But yet, the world thinks she did, because here she's a woman alone with them. But what she had done, and because she was a lady of class and quality, because she was a magic lady, every man she was with became a better king, a better legislator, a better businessman because of her presence in their life. Now, the wives knew that their husbands were with her, and they did not say no. Why did they not say no? They knew something good. When their husband came home from having been in a session with Madame Pompadour, their husband came home with dignity and pride and respected his wife, respected his family, respected his world. And the world thought badly of them. And yet, do you remember hearing anything about the men that she dealt with, or do you remember her? You only remember her because she was a lady of quality, and she brought the best out of everybody. Now, how could she bring the best out of everybody unless she first brought the best out of herself? She realized that she was a woman who was one of the greatest counselors in the world, you know? She realized that she was a woman who was one of the most respected people in the universe. Everything went for her. Her health remained exquisite to the end of her days. Her life was exquisite to the end of her days. She had wealth, unlimited, to the end of her days. And she never, ever did anything which was improper. Can you imagine that? Can you? Everybody thought she did, but she didn't. She was a woman of quality. She was a woman who had integrity within herself and lived by it. Now, we right away want to judge such a woman and say, surely she was a harlot, surely she was bad, you know. But was she? And even if she did it, would she have been bad? No. But you see, she didn't have to do those things because She gave a gift to every man that she counseled with, and they never thought she was counseling with them. They just merely felt, man, when I'm around this woman, I can do anything. I can go out and conquer the world. I can go out and win the world. I can go out and accomplish anything that I want to do. Because she believed in herself, they believed in themselves. Now, what's her secret? What's her secret? Her secret was that she loved herself just the way she was. She loved herself just the way she was because she respected who she was. Now, we are all giving ourselves names before we're born. The name that we have given ourselves before we're born is a name that we live with. And you, Rhonda, and Ellen, and Rachel, and I don't know what your name is, Alice, I think, but she goes by Allie, and she goes by all sorts of nicknames, and nobody even knows who she is. But and she doesn't know who she is either. And because she doesn't know who she is, she runs into all sorts of barbed wire, all sorts of problems. You know, Alice's husband told me a story last night, which I thought was quite ingenious. And he told me a story about his dog when he was a youngster. And the dog was just a little dog, and they lived in the part of California where there were many rattlesnakes. And these rattlesnakes were quite predominant and a bother to the dog. And so the dog thought, okay, I am going to use my brain. A dog using its brain by himself? Yes. I'm going to use my brain. I know that if I jump through this fence, and I jump through this fence this way and that way, the rattlesnake is going to chase me. And the rattlesnake is going to chase me through the fence and get hung up on the barbed wire of the fence and kill itself. And so all around the farm that her husband lived on, there were rattlesnakes hanging from the fence. And everybody thought, what in the world is this? And it was all because of the dog jumping through the fence and having the rattlesnake chase it and coming after it and getting caught in the barbed wire. Now, who would have ever dreamed of a human being causing such a condition, much less a dog? You see, we have capacities, we have qualities, we have abilities that are just unbelievable, that we haven't even begun to tap, we haven't even begun to use. Are you ready to begin to use it? I was talking to Rochelle, and she was telling me her dream is to be a music person, a singer, that's her dream, that I would surely never guess it was her dream. But why not? Do you think that Rochelle has music in her heart? You see, the music isn't from the outer. The music is from the inner. When Julie Andrews was singing in the wonderful Sound of Music movie, what did she do? She was a blithe, light spirit. She was a happy young girl. And she was living in the countryside and doing beautifully. And the world said to her, you must have more to do than just have fun. You know, you must have more to do than have fun. And so she said, okay, I will go to a nunnery, and I will go into a convent, and I will become a nun, because I want to give myself to something more than just having fun. And so she went into the convent. And in the convent, she couldn't change herself. She was such a joyful, wonderful spirit that she was having fun wherever she went. She did a delight wherever she went. She just was so charming wherever she went. And they sang a song about her. How do you catch a moonbeam in your hand? How do you catch a moonbeam in your hand? Because that's what she was considered, a moonbeam. And she was dancing and laughing and singing and having such a great time. Everything she did, she brought music and joy and harmony to it. And the whole convent was light and cheery with it. And everybody loved her, but everybody hated her. And the reason they hated her was because they thought that the convent was supposed to be serious, and that she was supposed to be down to earth, and that she was not supposed to have a happy heart. And so, on her free moments, her breaks, she would go off to the mountain, and she'd climb up the mountain, not very high, up into the meadow, and she'd dance around in the meadow, and she'd sing, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." And as we, the audience, heard her singing this, goosebumps ran up and down our arms, and we were just alive with her singing. Now, was she a good singer? Who knows? It was her heart that was singing. It was her soul that was singing. It was her being that was singing. She was being herself and having fun. And then she heard the church bell ring, and she knew she had to be back for vesper time. She had to be back for prayer time. And she dashed back. And she had her guitar with her, and she was running down the hillside, going back to the nunnery. And she got inside, and everyone was asking where she was, and everybody knew where she was, that she was on the hillside singing her heart out. You see, everyone wanted to be like her, but they didn't have the courage to. They thought the nunnery was a place of seriousness. Well, is God serious? Is the divine serious? Are we supposed to be serious in the eyes of God, or are we supposed to be filled with joy? What did God say? Filled with joy. What did God say to the people? He said, "Go forth and multiply. Go forth and have fun. Go forth and enjoy life. Go forth and do all beautiful things. I have created you in my image and in my likeness. And I am a joyful God. I am a joyful spirit." And what did Jesus teach us? He taught us that God is a God of love. And we are to go out and enjoy life. Now, not that we are to be indiscriminate, not that we are to be indecent or improper in any way, but whatever we believe is right, that's what we should go and do. And certainly we can't do anything other than what we believe is right. So, if we start getting the message of who we are, start getting the message of where it is we want to go and what we want to accomplish in life, then we should start to follow that. We should start to talk. You see, and in the story of The Sound of Music, she was in the monastery. And then what happened? They gave her a job outside the monastery. They gave her a job of being a nanny. And so she was a nanny for this fellow's children. And as a nanny, the kids just picked on her terribly. But did she mind? She handled it beautifully. And before the story got warm even, she had the children singing and coming into her bedroom in the middle of the night in a rainstorm, saying, you know, they wanted to, you know, be protected. They would have done it with their mommy and daddy, but their mommy and daddy weren't there, so they had to go to their nanny. And one girl, she came in through the window with her wet dress on because she had been talking to her boyfriend outside and singing together, and then the rainstorm came. And so what did she do? She helped her to dry her clothing before she went into her room so no one would know that she had been out like that and had come in through the window. And you see, it's a joyful thing. It's a joyful song. Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let us sing. And you know, in the early temple days of the Hebrews, they sang in the temple and they danced in the temple. And they danced and sang, and they were filled with music and filled with life. They probably did jazz and hard rock and all these other things that today we call very strange. But do you remember? And you don't. Do you remember when I was a boy? When I was a boy, we danced dances, the Big Apple and all these other things, and they were thought to be terrible. And what's this dance? You go like this here. The Charleston and all those wonderful things, and our parents thought, well, what is the younger generation coming to, you know? And then the next generation came along, and they had music that the previous generation thought, what are they doing? And then another generation comes along, and they have their dances, and we say, how crazy! And then another generation comes along, and they paint their hair green and red, and they have it standing out, and they dance and they sing. And they're good people. They're good people. They go through this experience of growing up, of finding themselves, but usually it's finding themselves with music, finding themselves with dancing, finding themselves with life and love. And when they find themselves doing this and being this, what do? I had a lady friend who was with me in Minneapolis, and we went to the wedding of one of our members in one of our church there, and this lady was my partner, and so we danced together, and she had wooden shoes on, and so I took her and I did the polka. You know how the polkas go? And you know, you dance and you swing and you grab your partner and you whirl your partner around. Well, I whirled her around so that her shoes flew to every side of the floor. In fact, she was a little shorter than I, and so I was holding her in my arms and she never touched the floor. And we danced and we danced and we danced. And after a while, she got tired. And she was never even touching the floor. So I put her down, and then I took someone else, and then we danced. Because I was having a ball. I was having fun. And you know who that person was?
Edith Mary.
Edith Mary. And she's now 84 or 5 years old, or something like that. But you see, this is what happens when you let go and have a great time. When you are yourself and you be yourself. Ellen goes by. She was visiting in Northern California, and then she and some of her friends, Stephanie, were going by a bar, and the bar was closed to the public. They were having a wedding dance, a wedding activity there, reception. And so Ellen hears the music, and she goes walking in. And she walks right in, and they thought, well, the way she's walking in, she must belong here. And so they ask her to have some champagne and to sit at the table and stuff like that. And she says, no, we'll just dance. And so she and Stefan started dancing. And then they asked for a prayer from everybody. And so Ellen gave them a prayer, a wedding prayer. And they had never heard such a wedding prayer in their life. And they were a traditional religious activity, but they had never heard one like that. And you see, and then on and on, these things like that go. When you just enter into life with joy in your heart, with love in your heart, there are no limitations. There are no limitations. And Rochelle, she says, well, what about me? I can't go walking around. I got to have my limousine. And I say, great. If you didn't have an electric limousine, you'd have a hand-driven limousine, right? And if you didn't have a hand-driven limousine, you'd have crutches, right?
Right.
And if you didn't have the crutches, you'd walk. And you'd say, I am perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And you keep saying that until you began to experience that. But you see, we have these crutches. We have these things that allow us to be imperfect. And then we say, why do I stay not being able to walk? Because we depend on these other things. And well, people say, well, Herb, you're giving false hope to people. No. What is the message of every religion, of every philosophy? It is, be ye made whole, therefore. This is what our ultimate desire is. But in the process, let's enjoy life. In the process, let's have fun. Isn't that a great idea, Rochelle? You bet it is. Now, Rochelle?
Is that her name?
Rachel. That's Rochelle.
Rachel.
Rachel. Rachel.
Rachel.
Rachel. Rachel. Rachel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I have a dear student, and her name is Gertrude, and her birthday is today, and she has just turned 70 today.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
And her grandson.
And her grandson is Jerome.
Uh-huh.
And Gertrude joined us many years ago, and Gertrude was a teacher of handicraft in the schools in Switzerland, and very good at it. And so then she retired, and she had never learned to drive a car, She'd never learned to run a computer. She'd never learned to speak English and read English. And she always had to have me interpreted for her. And she didn't do any of these things. And so one day I said, Gertrude, we have to have a computer in our office here in Switzerland, and you must learn how to operate it. And so we put a computer in there, and she learned how to operate it, just like you. Mm-hmm. You got a computer, and all of a sudden you took touch typing, and before you know it, you were a whiz at it. Mm-hmm. And isn't touch typing great on a computer? Without touch typing, a computer is a bore, because you're always looking at the keys. Mm-hmm. So, she learned how to touch type. She learned how to have English. She took English courses. She went to school after she retired from being a school teacher. And then she was on campus, Rachel. She was on campus. And she would do like this. She couldn't keep a note. She couldn't carry a song in a basket. Yes? You write it down.
How you spell your last, Ileda, your name?
My name?
Mm-hmm.
R-A-C-H-E-L.
Yeah, Rachel.
Oh, okay.
Rachel, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's Rhonda.
Rhonda.
And Alice, or Allie. And Jerome.
Yes.
And Ellen. And Herb. Okay? So, Gertrude was terrible. And I said, Gertrude, you go home to Switzerland and you take lessons on how to sing. And so she went home to Switzerland and she went to a woman who was in charge of, that is, who had been a former opera singer, an opera diva. And she was in her 90s. And Gertrude said, I would like to have you teach me to sing. And so she said, well, let me hear you. And she said, oh my God. She says, I cannot do anything with you. Gertrude said, please try. And so the lady tried. And she worked with Gertrude for about 2 or 3 weeks. And she says, well, there's some hope. And by the end of 2 months, Gertrude was singing the scale. You know what that is? Singing the scale? How utterly nothingness. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And she sang the scale. And she came to campus, and we said, Gertrude, what song have you learned? And she said, oh, the scale. And so she sang the scale for us. And she sang it so beautifully and so wonderfully, it was just a joy to hear. And then, about 6 months later, she was invited to be in the gospel choir for all of Switzerland. And now she's singing in the gospel choir for all of Switzerland on a regular basis. She, how often, once a month or three times a month? Once a month they perform, and twice a month they practice. And she is just fantastic. But before she couldn't carry a tune in a basket. But you see, I ordered her to go and take lessons. And she took the lessons, and she let go of an inner joy that she never knew she had. We all have within us genius that we never knew that we had. But we want to let go and let it be. And we can do that. We can do that. And what we must do is Gertrude was singing for herself. She was singing in her own heart, in her own life. And you know what she also did? She bought a little... What do you call this piano? It's a tiny little thing like this.
Keyboard?
Hmm?
Keyboard?
Keyboard.
No, it goes beyond that. It goes back in years.
Organ?
Hmm?
Is it an organ?
No, it's just a piano, but it's a clavichord or something like that. But it's an old type piano. And it's just a real type of piano, but it's like a harmonica, not harmonica, harpsichord. But anyway, it's a little thing like this here, and it's bigger than this thing. It is not electric.
It's not.
No. It's in the bedroom that I used all the time there. And it is a very low. And she learned to play that. She just chose to love music. She chose to do these things. And she didn't know she had this talent. Here she had three children that she'd raised. She'd been a school teacher for Humpty Dump years. And she never knew that she had the ability to do all those things. And I encouraged her to go out and try the lessons. And do you know what she did? Her daughter had a car, and her daughter left the car behind in Switzerland when she went to New Zealand. And she says, "Mom, it's your car." And so Gertrude said, "Well, I guess I better go and learn how to drive it." So she took driving lessons and driving the car. Yes, Rhonda, why are you smiling? And when she took driving lessons and driving the car, what did she do? She fell in love with the driving instructor. And she thought the driving instructor was just the greatest, coolest guy in the whole world. And she failed the driving test 3 times. She had to take longer lessons with the driving instructor, you know. But she finally passed it, and she is an exquisite driver now. And she had this lovely car her daughter left her, but it wasn't good enough, so she went out and bought a new one. And now she has this beautiful new Starlet, Toyota Starlet car.
Toyota.
Beautiful. And she has driven it now for years, and she has never had an incident, a scratch, never any. The car is as pristine today as it was on the day she bought it, because she had love in her heart for it. Now, all of us can do all the things we want to do in every way we want to do it, if we want to do it. Do you have dreams and goals in your heart? How do you want to have the technique of healing work in your heart? Gertrude had it work in her heart on a car, working on the computer, which she had never done in her life, and on speaking English and writing English, and beautifully done. In fact, she translates for me now when people are talking in Switzerdeutsch or German over there. And she's just a wonderful... And then I told her also, I said, "Gertrude, do not get hung up with your grandchildren, because they can own you. And they will make demands on you that your sons and daughters, they will let you take care of the kids, and then they'll go off and play. You are the one who should be going off and playing now. I mean, this is your life." And so, oh yes, of course, I will do that. I will." Well, she got hung up. And she loves the kids. But now she's getting to the point where she can tell the kids, "Go home. And I have other things to do." And that is a beautiful... She is growing up from her retirement years, instead of, you know, growing down into being nothing. She is turning on to be a rose of very, very great significance. And today is her 70th, and she is just so happy. She says, "I'm looking forward to that." She says, "Because my life is getting better with every passing year." Now, she had several children who had problems, and I talked with these children. And little by little, their problems were dissolved, because they put a cause in motion that they liked themselves. You see, we cannot heal another person. We can only heal ourselves. And the reason we have any problems in our life, any sicknesses or any illnesses or any imperfections in our life, is because we don't like ourselves. And the minute we start liking ourselves, our body starts out picturing that liking for ourselves. When we don't like ourselves, we have unhappiness within. When we don't like ourselves, we have conditions within that make us feel like we are unworthy. Conditions within that make us feel that we are not desirable people. And because we have those conditions that make us feel like that, we think that's who we are. And of course, it is who we are, because that's what we believe. And our question is, how do we go about making the change from being the type of person that has these conditions to being the type of person that does not have these conditions? How do we go into that new attitude of ourself? Well, we go into that new attitude of ourself by realizing that we are divine. Now, if I say to you, "Here, I have this lovely cone. It's a paper cone. You can buy them. It's a paper cone. It's about so tall, and it's about so big at the top and tiny at the bottom. And if you don't know what I'm talking about already, I'm surprised. But you have this tiny, this cone. And the cone is pure. The cone is a wonderful piece of cardboard paper that is pretty stiff. And it's a lovely cone. And then you decide you're going to put some cotton candy on that cone. And so you take it by the cotton candy machine, and you turn the cone until it builds up here with this pink stuff, and builds up here with the pink stuff, and up here with the pink stuff. Pretty soon you got a great big massive cone of cotton candy. Now, inside is that beautiful cone, perfect, untouched, but it's got all this cotton candy around it. And so then you start eating that cotton candy, and you get back down to the cone, and there's a little sticky stuff that clings to the cone, but basically, you've eaten the whole thing. Okay, so you have a pink one. And so Rhonda, she goes over to the green one, and she wants a mint cone. And so she has this mint sugar that is all spun into this wonderful binary, and she makes a mint cone. And Rochelle, she goes to what cone is yours? The strawberry cone, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She goes to the strawberry fluff, and she gets a big cone. But you see, Rochelle thinks, I have time to spare. So she does a double cone, and she makes it really thick and really big. And so she's sitting there enjoying this and watching all the children at play and watching all the things going on. And Ellen comes along, and Ellen says, I'm not very hungry. I do not want a big cone. And so she goes to the vanilla cone, and she makes this white vanilla cone, and it's just as fluffy as it could be, and she wants only a little bit. But she doesn't know that she has to move back away from it, or else it'll just keep adding on. Because if she holds it next to that spinning sugar machine, it's going to keep adding on to her cone. And she says, that's enough, stop, turn it off. And you have to back away. And she doesn't back away. And next thing you know, she's turning around trying to get it on the other side, so she gets cone on herself. And pretty soon, she is a load of sugar candy cone all over her. And everybody comes up to her and says, oh my, that's a big cone. Can we have a lick? And inside is who? Ellen. And what's she doing in there? She's angry as can be. There's a sticky stuff that's a terrible inside this cone. What am I going to do? And what can she do? What is the best way to dissolve a candy cone? Anybody know?
Water.
With water. You just spray water on it, and it just dissolves and goes into its nothingness. It doesn't cling. It doesn't get in the way. And it just goes right down the drain. But no, Ellen says, what must I do? I will pray, oh God, help me get rid of this candy cone all over me. And then all the people come and want to help her, and they're eating the cone off of her, and they're trying to help her get rid of it. And Ellen's sitting there, what am I going to do? It's terrible. You don't know how it is inside of this terrible body with this terrible cone around me. With it, my pure, beautiful self inside here is hidden beneath this cone. What can I do? What can I do? And I think that's probably where the word baptism came from, immersing in the water. And when you're immersed in the water, then all that which is contrary to who you are floats away, is no longer part of you, and you are free and pure and back to your original purity and integrity. We can all go back to our original purity and integrity. We can all be that pure cone inside, without any candy on it, without anything at all. The cone can be used for many things. You can have a roll of toilet paper on a cone. Yeah. You can have a roll of paper towels. You can do many, many things. But you see, how are you using your cone? How are you using your original purity and integrity? How are you using your original body, your original beingness, which is there, that's inside of that cone that you got all that candy stuff wrapped around? And How do you get back to that original cone, huh? How do you get back? Well, you get back by returning in your thought to your original purity and integrity. And then mentally being baptized, mentally being washed away, as they say, in the blood of the Lamb, and I don't think we need that, but washed away in the love that we have for ourselves. Have you ever gone to a little child who was having a tantrum?
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
Yeah, we've been there. And you go to this little child who has a tantrum, and this little child is just so frustrated and so unhappy and so mad at everything in the world that they just are screaming their heart out and stomping their feet and banging their head against the wall. They are just so totally lost to themselves. And then you go to them and you say, "Hey, I found a rainbow. You know that? I found a rainbow. And oh boy, do I love this rainbow. This, look at it. The rainbow goes from here over to here. Did you ever see a rainbow? I did, I did, I did." And this rainbow is so glorious. It, look at it. And it's got 1, 2, 3, 7 colors in it. What a lovely rainbow. And it goes here and here. And pretty soon, out of the corner of their eye, they're looking at you, you know, and they're forgetting their tantrum. And then you say, "This rainbow, at this end is your end of the rainbow, and this is my end of the rainbow. But I'm going to come over to your end of the rainbow because you're not there. So I got to hold both ends of the rainbow down. Now, but here, I'm over here, and I'm over here. And I'm, now, this rainbow is just going back and forth. Now, what can I do? I don't want to be on both ends of the rainbow." And they come over. "I'll hold that in." And they change their mind. They come out of their tantrum. They come out of their frustration because they find something loving to do. And then you say to them, "Can you hold it all right? That's a pretty heavy rainbow." "Oh, sure." And then I'll hold my end. "Now, let's take the rainbow and make music with it." "What?" "Yeah, now you got to come up and I come up and then we go back and forth. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me." Get over your side. "I like me, I like me." And pretty soon, they're singing with you. And pretty soon, the unhappiness in their heart's gone away. And all the tantrum experience has gone away. And they feel love. Love, unconditional, solves all the problems in the world. And so the child was having a tantrum. It was having a tantrum because it couldn't do the things that the other children were doing. It couldn't do the other things the other children were doing because it didn't have two legs. It just had its arms and, you know, some stubs, and it couldn't walk. And all the other children were saying, "Ha, ha, 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 you don't have any legs, you can't walk, ha, 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 ha." And so we played rainbow. And I said, "Now, you can play rainbow. Now why don't you go and play rainbow with your friends? Teach them about the rainbow." And so pretty soon, unconditionally loving, the child goes out, plays with the other children, and teaches them about his rainbow. He can't get around quite like they do. And they say, "Johnny's got a rainbow, and he's teaching us to play with his rainbow." And the next thing you know, Johnny is a special person who's got something very special going for himself. Now, he may never get his legs, but he's got something even better than his legs. But he can have his legs too, yes.
Do you mind if I share something with you?
Ellen, take this over and let her share it with us. Hold it on the bottom.
You want to show or to share?
Share.
Okay.
Well, 6 more days, I'm going to go have a hip replacement surgery. And I was born with this dislocated hip. I've been with it since birth.
Yeah.
And no doctor here in town or not even my parents could do anything about it, you know. And my number one desire besides singing was always to walk. Okay? Now, listen to this. On December 6th of last year, I went to the doctor, and he said that I'm able to help you with your hip. And so this doctor who's about to do my hip next Thursday is going to do my knee. This knee right here, which is the reason why the left foot is turned. So he'll be able to fix that. And then he's going to find a separate doctor who would do both of my feet. And with therapy and rehabilitation, I would be able to walk.
Bravo.
What a master.
You found your rainbow, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
For you.
Wow.
I found my light at the end of the dark tunnel.
Super. Yeah. And it's done.
Being a master.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
You have your singing voice to go along with it.
That's right.
Stand on stage and sing.
There it is.
Now I can feel it. I really can.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Yeah.
You know, what you're talking about right now is really inspiring me, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, I'm just like thumbing through these songs, and now I don't know which one to sing.
Sing. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Very nice. Very
nice.
We live in a very special universe, and we never know what we're guided to say, but we just say the things that we're guided to say. And they always come out to be something very special. This is how Lady Pompadour worked. She was just guided to say the right thing. She had no political interests. She had no interest in government. She had no interest in all these things except that harmony, peace, love, and happiness. And so she listened within and followed the guidance that came. Just like you now. You, all your life, wanted to find the doctor that would be helpful to you. And now, in this modern medicine, with the modern laser programs and the treatments that they can do absolute miracles in bringing things about. Now, there is not a question, and you never want to ask the question, there's never a question, why do I have these problems? The only statement you want to make is, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. I am perfect. My original purity and integrity is perfect. And why these things happen, I don't understand. But I will not let them make me unhappy. I will not let them make me feel sad. I know that God has a reason and a plan and a purpose for me in my divine self. And I am now ready to have my wholeness revealed to me. I am ready for my perfection. Because this is my divinity. This is my reality. And, Rachel, you think it's an accident that you came to talk to us today. Nothing happens by chance.
Mm-hmm.
We always know that the divine has its hand in all these things, and the rainbow now has settled on you. And you're one end of the rainbow, and I'm the other end. And we'll play beautiful music together. And the next thing you know, we'll have you here in Las Vegas on stage singing beautiful songs to people, being the quality person that you are, being the person with the integrity and the purity of heart and the purity of soul and the purity of word and deed. And you will be a magnificent diva, because that's what you always were and that's what you are now. And I'm in a room full of divas here, a room full of wonderful ladies. Now, Jerome has been with us here, off and on, and he's out of the room at the moment. Now, why is Jerome not here at this particular moment? He's not here at this particular moment because he's fighting. He's fighting himself, And he's fighting the opportunity to be the beautiful being that he is. And one day he'll stop fighting. And when he stops fighting, he'll find that the candy will just drop away from him. All that fluff will just drop away, and he'll be that beautiful being that he is inside, and he'll be that outside. But because we fight, we keep our good experiences away from us. We keep our happy times away from us. We keep the experience of wholeness and purity, of genius, of our musical ability. We keep it away. Gertrude, she was fighting all the rest. I can't sing. I can't drive a car. I can't read English. I can't do these things. She kept saying that all of her life, and she couldn't. And the moment she changed her thought to, well, I'll work at it. I maybe can. If Herb believes in me, I'll believe in myself. And then she started to believe in herself. She started to have magic happen in her life. And she had had much magic happening in her life before that, but she had great magic happening in her life with that experience. But can you see how that works? It's so simple and so easy, and it just means that we have to follow what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. And Rhonda, what did Ralph Waldo Emerson say? Get your...
Bloatedness.
Come on now.
Get your bloated nothingness out of the way. Get your bloated nothingness out of the way.
Of what?
Yourself.
Of the divine circuits. See, Emerson said, get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. Our bloated nothingness is to say, I can't do it. Our bloated nothingness is to say, I'm limited. Our bloated nothingness is to say that there is, I'm meant to be poor. I'm meant to be sick. I'm meant to have problems. That's our bloated nothingness. The divine circuits say what? Go, 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 baby. Right?
Yes.
You can do anything you want to do. Anything. And you can be anything you want to be. You can experience anything you want to experience. But you have to get in there and take it. If you don't take it, it's going to be just standing there waiting. And I have a friend. He's 87 years old. And his wife had died. And he always wanted to have a beautiful pickup truck. A beautiful pickup. He had money and he could afford these things, but he didn't buy it. He said, well, I'm getting old. And I said, well, Bill, if you die tomorrow, at least you would have had that truck to drive today and been feeling real good about it. And if you don't die tomorrow, you got it tomorrow too, you know. And so get your truck. Go buy your truck. And he didn't. He felt sorry for himself. He didn't. He listened to his nephew who didn't want him to spend the money because he wanted to keep the money into the estate, you know, ha, ha, ha. And I said, Bill, go buy your truck. Go and have your truck and drive it. And so what happened? He got, what's that?
Leap.
Huh?
He had to leap. Mm-hmm.
What kind of eyes? He couldn't see any longer. What's that?
Glaucoma?
No. That, what the old people get. Go ahead, Ellen.
What if they take a picture with you?
You want a picture with me?
Yeah.
You mind if I have a picture with you?
Sure.
You mind? No. Right. Okay. Well, then we'll take a pause now, too, because it's 10 o'clock. And then we'll come back and continue with our wonderful...